Lord, I thank you because your mercies, they are everlasting. Lord, I thank you because of your people that you have gathered to instruct on your word. Thank you, Lord, because there is something important, something great, Lord, that you have planned for us. That's why you have brought us here today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, please, let me quickly, without wasting any time, go on to what I want to preach today. And like I was saying earlier, in my opinion, this is probably the most important message I have ever preached in my life. And I don't say such things jokingly. I don't say them lightly. And I believe what I'm saying very, very, very strongly. I have never been as excited getting ready for a meeting as I was getting ready to teach today. I was not excited this morning. I went to preach somewhere else this morning. So there was no time for excitement. Okay? But I was excited a few days ago when I realized that this is what I will be teaching on today. Now, because of the depth of what I have to say and the time that we have on our hands, I will not go over what we have said previously. But I'll just say that this is kind of a connecting message between what we preached in the past when we talked about destined to reign and what we are beginning to preach now, which I call training to reign. Now, so I don't know whether to put it as training to reign number one or just put it on its own. But what I want to speak about is what I call, let me say, the entrance of the kingdom of God or the coming of the kingdom of God. There is an understanding that God granted me and I want to share with us. It's very, very important. You know, I just realized something that when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, he said, thy kingdom come. You know, there was something I read about some time ago in one commentary analyzing that word. He said that when he said thy kingdom come, that it was supposed to be a dramatic coming of the kingdom. That is, it is not, I mean, I find it hard to understand that in the light of what the Bible says about the increase of his kingdom and of peace, that there shall be no end. That is, there God made it clear that the kingdom of God will continue to increase. Do you understand my point? That is, of the increase of his government, that's what he said. And that was referring to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when I heard that, I read that, well, I noted it, but I couldn't really explain it until I came to this understanding that I want to share with us, and it's very, very, very important. Now, listen to me. There is a song, I will sing it, they'll tell you the interpretation. It says, it's a Yoruba song, and most of us, I'm sure, we have heard it before. Se Baba Ye, Jeki Joba Rede. Baba Ye, Jeki Joba Rehon. Kashe Rebere, Lori Mi. Now, let me explain what it means. I just had to sing it for record purposes, all right? It says that, Father, let your kingdom come and let your authority begin upon me. Or then second line, say, let your authority begin in my life. Ashe is Yoruba word for authority, for a command. Do you understand my point? Now, I don't know who wrote the song. I don't know where it started from. But I realized that for me, that is the deepest song that somebody can sing in talking about the kingdom of God. Now, I'll explain the reason as we go on in our teaching today. But bear what I'm saying in mind very, very clearly. Now, first thing I want you to read, if you have your Bibles, is to open to, is from the book of Psalm 103. And I'll read from verse 19. Now, I want to read from the King James Version because it used the expression that I really like. And I believe it's very accurate. I've done my checks around. It said from verse, Psalm 103, verse what? 19. It said, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He said, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. He said, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. He said, bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. my emphasis is in verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Now get that clear. That is, anywhere the kingdom of God is, it will always take dominion. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. If I might just use my own translation, the New American Standard. He said, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. I didn't like the word sovereignty. And I checked, and I found out that, in my understanding, that word kingdom is most appropriate. Now, I believe that the translators here use the word sovereignty because it didn't sound very, very fitting to use the word kingdom. But if you understand the principles I'm going to share this evening, you'll realize that the correct word is kingdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The correct word is kingdom. Now, there is something that happened once, and Jesus made a statement. And I want to refer to it, and I'll read it to us in a moment. Jesus was casting out demons, Luke chapter 11. And the people began to accuse him of casting out demons by the prince of demons, by Baal-zebul. And he said, if I by Baal-zebul cast out demons, verse 19, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they will be your judges. He said, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Please notice that. That is, the kingdom of God is right now in your midst. Now, if you look around, it will not be as if, I mean, let me read New Living Translation to make a point. He said, if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Please notice that very clearly. That is, it is possible for people to be out of the kingdom of God, yet the kingdom of God is somewhere around them. There was something that John the Baptist used to say when he would be preaching. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, I want you to notice this very clearly, because I have found out. Now, maybe should I read this scripture now or leave it till later? But let me make this statement. That God's plan, you know, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the world. Then the end shall come. Are you getting me? Now, one thing I want to understand is that God, this is what the way I understand the scriptures. The plan of God is not that you will tell the world, really, get me, about the kingdom of God. Listen, the world, by God's plan, is to see the manifestation of God's kingdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, okay, I think it would be a good time to read the verse of scripture that I said we should read. We read it before. Isaiah chapter 2. It said, now it will come to pass that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. He said, for the Lord will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He said, he will judge between the nations and render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Let me just read from verse 5. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people. The conversation turns to the Lord right now, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Notice that the reason why God abandoned his people, the reason why God abandoned the house of Jacob, was because they were filled with influences from the east, and they have become soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Let me summarize it, that the kingdom of God was not established in their lives. That was their problem. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, I'm bringing up a thought to us, that God's plan is that his church will manifest the power of God, and the earth will see it and say, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was preaching for Ken Carter this morning, and a lot of young people there. I said, listen, as Christians, the tendency is that you want to tell your friends, don't cheat in an exam. I said, that is correct. You tell them about righteousness. I said, but you know what the plan of God is? The plan of God is that you will not cheat in an exam, and they will know you are not cheating in an exam. But more importantly, you will always beat them after they are finished cheating. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, you will be in university, and people are bribing lecturers, and people are doing things that are iniquitous to pass exams. You will not do any of those things. You will pass, they will fail. That is, one day they will come to agree that this young man, this young woman does not do what we do, but he or she prospers more than we prosper. That is the power of God. You know God's plan? The message, this is where I say it, is actually for his church. He says, say to Zion, here is your God. Not say to the world. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, what the world sees is a manifestation of the power of God in the church. And then they will come and say, come and teach us. Do you follow me? That is, they will see the manifestation of God in your life, and they will come and say, come and teach us. You know, by the time somebody comes and says, you don't do like we are doing, you always succeed and we are failing, then you will explain to the person, there is a law of the Spirit that causes me to stay above alone and not beneath. Now, there's one principle I want to get clear to you. That's why we read from Psalm 103 just now. It said, the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. That's why I took us to Luke chapter 11 just now, so that we will see exactly what Jesus was saying. That anytime you see, you know, I don't know whether I shared it with us last time. I guess so. When I was explaining about the coming of the kingdom of God, that Jesus was preaching and said, blessed are you that are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And he said, when the kingdom of God comes, those that rejoice now will begin to mourn. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what am I saying? That is, you will find out from when Jesus was speaking here, that anybody in the kingdom of God, listen to this, will always be on top and not beneath. Now, let me explain that clearly. That the kingdom of God will be inside somebody before it becomes around. Let me say that again. I don't think I got my expression out very clearly. That this is God's plan. He said, if I, by the finger of God, is casting out demons amongst you, then it should be clear to anybody with understanding that the kingdom of God is in your midst. What am I saying? That I am the embodiment of God's kingdom. That was why I sang that song, that let your kingdom come. That's what that song says. It said, but let it start in my life. What am I saying? That God's kingdom will not suddenly appear in the heavens, but it will suddenly appear in the life of somebody. Do you follow me? And the advance of the kingdom of God around is determined by the appearance of many such peoples that the kingdom of God is appearing inside them. Now, but what I want to emphasize to us today is the automatic dominance of the kingdom of God. He said, where were we? Psalm 103. Let me go back there. Psalm 103. He said, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. This is what I'm coming to. Anytime that God's kingdom is present, it will always be on top. Let me come over that again. When Jesus was there as the embodiment of the kingdom of God, demons naturally had to bow to him. Do you understand me? That it was not by prayer per se. It was not a matter of wish or desire or confession. If I take a ball, take it to the bottom of the ocean, full of air, of course, it's a leather ball, and I use all the energy within me to drive it to the bottom of the ocean, Then when I get there, I release it. Do you know what will happen? It starts shooting back for the top. Why? It was not meant to be beneath. No matter how hard you try, once you release it, it goes back to the top. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, God says, my kingdom is like that. If it is present, it can never be beneath. Now, but don't forget this. I am describing the kingdom of God as what? A person. That is, if God's kingdom is present inside somebody. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, we have discussed in the previous teachings on destined to reign, that when somebody who has the Spirit of God in him, who is subjected to the authority of Jesus Christ, is in authority, then whatever his authority extends to, that is the extent of the kingdom of God. And that is true. But what I want to emphasize here today is that person. That once the person, once you as an individual, the kingdom of God has become manifested in your life, without trying, you will always be on top. Believe me. You know, I realized what Paul was saying. He said, labor to enter into rest, because anybody that has entered into rest has ceased from his own works. That is, men struggle to achieve prominent positions. They struggle to be on top. They struggle to succeed in all that they do. But God said, why are you worrying about those things? Seek first what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I suddenly realized that Jesus was not saying try to advance the kingdom. Just seek to enter. That is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That a man can be on earth and personally have stepped into God's kingdom. And what was Jesus saying there? That was from when this man came to see him. John chapter 3. Nicodemus. He said, we know that you are a teacher that came from God, because nobody can do all these works that you do except God be with him. And you know, instantly, Jesus answered him. In verse 3, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then in verse 5, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Now, he was talking about the same thing, just expounding further. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What was he saying? Remember that Jesus just, the man just asked Jesus a simple question. We know that, you know, he made a statement. Let me use, that's a better expression. We know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And instantly, Jesus replied, the reason why you see this work is because I dwell in the kingdom. That is, the kingdom of God is inside me. Are you getting me? And if you want to experience the kind of works that I experience, then all you need to do is to enter into that kingdom. And the way by which you enter is by being born again. Are you following me? That is, the works of God are automatic if a man is in the kingdom. Oh, no wonder Paul said, labor to enter into that rest. Because once you have entered, you have ceased from your own works. And Jesus said that, you see, these works, I don't do them. He says, the Father that doeth the work. He said, as I hear, so I speak. The Father doeth his work. Do you understand my point? That is, there was no strain on his part to achieve anything in life. And it is the same principle he's talking about. You know, we have, you know, one of the things God has given me as a message is to explain to believers that it is not necessary to struggle. There is what is called grace that triumphs over, how do I say it? He said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized by Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Like I said last time, grace is what God does for you while you obey simple instructions. I have a new definition for it. Grace is the manifestation around your life once you live in the kingdom of God. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, it's not as if the man is struggling. No. There are things that are written concerning his life. No, Jesus told them, follow me and I will make you. That is, any man following Jesus Christ is automatically being made. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, it is not the man is trying to be made. He's being made.
No, get me. I told that, as far as I'm concerned, this is probably the most important message I've ever preached. Because we have said many things about what Christians should do, what God has as a plan for the life of believers. You are to be on top alone and not beneath. The influence of God will spread by your influence. The kingdom of God will spread by your hands. We have said all of that. A lot of times, if you stop there, people say, now I am a righteous man. They want to strive to acquire kingdom. God said, no. Seek for the kingdom of God to be birthed in your life. Don't worry, every other thing will come out automatically. He said, the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, but upon this earth, his kingdom rules over everything around it once it is manifest. And my emphasis is that manifestation is not that Enugu has become the kingdom of God. No, it is that Brown has become the kingdom of God. And when he enters Enugu, Enugu will subject itself to him automatically. Do you get what I'm saying? That is what a man needs. What a woman needs is not to try to overcome Enugu. No, it's to have the kingdom of God inside him. Now, let's go back to something I was saying. We were reading earlier. That's Isaiah chapter 2. Notice this. Before I read it, a lot of times you hear that many people, there are so many Christians, why is the world not better? And you know the truth? God is not talking about the number of people that go to church or call themselves Christians, but the number of people that actually have their lives totally entrenched in God's kingdom. That is, when you look at them, you say, the kingdom of God is in this place. They say, who's your boss? This man, the kingdom of God is there. Who's the new gate man they hired? This man. Then the kingdom of God has come to this company. Listen. I realize that what happens is that a lot of believers don't even live in that kingdom. They are not working as I don't want to use the word citizen, no, of the kingdom. I want to use the word that they are not working as the kingdom of God on the earth. Why? Let's go back to where we were. I read something earlier. I want to emphasize it. Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 5. It said, come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Then he turned the conversation to the Lord. He said, for you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. Now listen to this. Remember what we read earlier? He said that it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above all the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. He was now saying, because of this, we have to walk in the light of the Lord. And the reason why we have not seen manifestation is this. Verse 6. He said, for you, the Lord, have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. Why did you abandon them? Because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. God is saying that the reason why the church, now, please, let's forget church as a body now. Let's look at them as individuals, all right? Where they are not in the proper places, where they are not ruling as they are supposed to, is that it is not the individual that plan they are going to rule. It is the kingdom in them that will rule. So when the men themselves are not subject, that is, their whole body, their whole being has not become the kingdom of God, you won't see them taking the place they are supposed to take. He said this is the reason. They are filled with influences from the east. You talk to an average believer, you know, he sounds exactly like the world. They share the same opinion. They analyze politics in the same fashion. Now, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is, his heart is not filled with the authority of God, but is filled with the influences from the east. Now, let me say this again. Life is controlled by spiritual forces, not by our trials. Are you getting me? That is, what will become, will come upon you in life is not a product of your desires. 15 steps to breakthrough. One, have an intense desire. Most of the men who fail desire breakthrough. A lot of the people who succeeded were not pursuing that thing with the kind of thing you call zeal. I was talking to a man, a senior man, a professor, a few days ago, and he had been appointed to head one federal board. So I said, sir, is congratulation appropriate? He said, I don't know too. I said, I don't want to say congrats, you know, because, you know, it came out of me spontaneously. Because I am not an average Nigerian that I think it's the opportunity to go and chop money. All right? So I said, sir, is congratulation appropriate? He said, I don't know really. That at this age, I want to take things easy. But he made a statement. He said, really, I don't plan things. He said, destiny comes upon me. He said, when opportunity comes, I serve. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't become board chairman because he desired it. That's why Solomon said, I have discovered the race is not to the swift. Now, let me put my own words. Manifestations are not to the most passionate. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, but time and chance happens to men when you look at it under the sun. That is, a man steps into a place planning to go and buy guguru. And at the end of the day, he's a king. That was what happened to Saul. Am I wrong? They said, some animals are missing. Let's go and ask that man. And next day, he was a king. Without desire. Listen to me. Let's not put the cart before the horse. David never desired to be king in Israel. Never. Look, sometimes we put too much emphasis where it's not supposed to be. You have passion for it. If you pursue it with passion, it's good. But if you pursue what? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. That is the only thing that needs your passion. That is all. All other things shall be added. Do you understand my point? I drive by your house in the morning while you are not planning to do it, or you're not planning to even cook. Then I dump a truckload of rice in your house. It is not because of your desire for food. I added it to you. Do you get the point I'm making? All other things shall be added. What will come upon you in life is not a product of your desires. It's God that dwells in the heavens, whose kingdom rules over all, who will add many things to your life. He said, but there's a condition. Seek the kingdom of God. Suddenly I realized, that's what Jesus was saying. He said, but when that kingdom comes, it always rules over all. That if a Christian, if a child of God is not seeing the progress of enthronement, let me use that word, in his life, then he's filled with influences from the east. Paul said, labor to deliver yourself from influences from the east. That is, once every morning, check yourself. How am I talking like an unbeliever? You know, I say things jokingly a lot of times. But when we finish with the joke, I tell people that what I am saying is the truth. For example, this is my favorite example. I said, I want to have many children. People say, no, one is good. Why? Because country is difficult. Children are expensive to maintain. And they finish talking. I said, let's not come out with the reasons, the pros and the cons right now. I have only one word. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. And it is a blessing to have a quiver full. Said, what if your quiver is small? How do you know? Are you getting my point? How many fertile women have you counted their eggs? Let me use common word. And they are less than 50,000. Quiver is small. You don't have ovarian dysgenesis. Genesis. Who told you your quiver is small? Women that have 10 children also have only one womb. They don't have two. Who told you your quiver is small? Are you getting? Now, I'm not teaching having many children right now. I'm just going to bring out the principle that if you open your mouth and speak like the world, you have walked out of the kingdom. That's what I'm saying. That is, the problem with the church is that they are filled with influences from the east. They have not taken time out. They are struggling for promotion like the people of the world. They have not taken time out to ensure that their lives are filled with the influences of the kingdom. You know, I shared with us some time ago that what God says is simple. If you fill your heart with the word, it will always produce results. I just said, this is exactly what he's saying. Because when we are talking about kingdom, we are saying that, you know, this is the meaning of the word. God looked and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, a lot of us think it was because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. No, not at all. That statement was made when he was 30 years old. Should I tell you what happened? Over the years, God had tested him and proved him and shown that this guy, the Bible say, and God said, to whom will I look? But the one that is of a contrite spirit and a humble heart, who trembles at my word. That is, no matter what he desires, if I speak otherwise, he forgets it. No matter what he doesn't like, when I say, go here, suddenly his desire rises in that direction. He said, I rejoice at thy word as him that finds great spoil. That is the way a man will make $1 billion and begin to rejoice. When God's word comes to me, that's the same way in which I rejoice. That was what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that one day God looked and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you get me? That is, his life has been signed. God has put a seal upon that, here is my kingdom. From then, anywhere he goes, demons have to cry out. Do you get my point? The sea had to become calm when he raised his voice, because his kingdom indeed rules over all. The problem with men is that they are filled with influences from the east. And the Bible said they are soothsayers like the Philistines. What are soothsayers? People who predict the future. So the man sits you down and says, listen, let me tell you the truth. The way the country is going, no hope for your children. He has become a soothsayer like the Philistines. When God said, my word to you is that, I swear, you will never bear children for calamity. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, no matter what people say, no matter what the surrounding circumstances say, this guy is subject to the word of God. Are you getting me? His life is the kingdom of God. That's the point I'm coming to. That is, the kingdom of God on the earth starts upon you. It starts in your life. And once it is there, it rules over all automatically. I believe we are people of understanding, so I don't have to read too many scriptures. I'll just refer to them. You know the story of Joseph. He never one day prayed for the throne. His imprisonment was too obvious. That praying for the throne was too far away from his heart. If he was supposed to pray, what will he pray about? Deliverance. Acquittal, like you guys would call it. For his name to be cleansed, that he's not an attempted rapist. And of course, we have scriptural evidence for that. After I interpreted the dream for the cupbearer of Pharaoh, he said, remember, girl, when you reach there, I'm a Jew, I'm a Hebrew. My father lives very far away. I did not sin. They sold me into slavery. You see that man? His wife lied against me. I was his most diligent servant. God said, oh boy, relax. You will see where the kingdom is going to take you to. Are you getting my point? But it's what I want to bring out. His life was, his life was summarized in a simple statement. How can I do this? He told Mrs. Potiphar, and sin against God. That is, the fear of God was his guiding principle in everything that he did. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was the kingdom of God. And the Bible said it rules over all. And indeed, it ruled over the whole land of Egypt. When we're speaking about the spirit of excellence, we said about grace for promotion. Remember that. Who was our example? Daniel. Daniel and his friends, or his brothers, when they moved into Babylon, their first prayer point was, God, we will not defile ourselves by all the idols of this land. Do you get me? Let me just say this. Paul said that, I cannot tell you not to interact with the ungodly people. Let me summarize it. Because if I tell you that, I'm telling you to move out of the world. He said, when I was charging you, I was only telling you, don't interact with anyone that calls himself a brother, yet is a fornicator. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what am I saying here? As you live in life, you will enter Babylon every day. That's what I want to come to. When you join PDP, you have joined Babylon. When you take a job in the local government, you have joined Babylon. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you have to join PDP, some of you. You will go to a place where occultists have joined together to hold it in bondage. You must take the job. It is commanded that you must not be afraid of them. But before you step in, we have discussed it here before that every profession has his own problems. Any man you give arms to, give him arms to enforce the law, he tends to oppress the poor, oppress the innocent. So when they came to John the Baptist, what must we do? He said, stop taking things from people by force. Be content with your wages. Any child of God that joins the customs service of Nigeria, you know what I'm saying? The pressure of covetousness will be heavy. Men whose official salaries are 10,000 naira a month will be earning 500,000 naira a month because they posted them at a kind of border. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you are joining such Babylons, you have to take a decision before you step in. Maybe you are entering into customer service. Say, God, I swear and I pray for your help, your grace, that I will not take money away from here that is 5 kobo beyond my salary, except I get it from outside in a job not connected to this thing. And you will add to it, God, I refuse tips and I refuse gratifications. Get my point? Some things that are legal elsewhere that God will not frown upon. Paul said, all things are lawful, but they are not all expedient. That is, sometimes they don't help you. And get my point, nothing is neutral in the realm of the spirit. So if it is not expedient, it's actually dangerous. Though in itself, it is not unlawful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me explain my point. If a young woman is looking for a job and he goes to a bank or somewhere, and the guy says, we'll discuss the interview another time. But meanwhile, I'm going out this evening. Why don't you come with me? Going to eat with a man is not unlawful, is it? But it's not expedient under such circumstances. What am I saying? There are times, look, what was the problem of Gehazi? He said, is it his time to receive? Get me. Naaman came. And after he was healed, dipping 7 times in the Jordan, he returned to Elisha and said, here are the gifts. If you read the scriptures well, you know that Elisha was living on such gifts. His regular income was gifts like the type that Naaman brought. But in the case of Naaman, it was not expedient. Here was a Gentile who has seen the power of God, who was used to paying his gods for everything they did for him. He used to buy favor with sacrifices from his God. He has come to the true God. You don't give him the same impression. That was why Paul said that some of you, I refuse to take anything from your hands. To lay an example for you, he said, I had the right for you to support me as a minister. Are you getting what I'm saying? But in the case of Gehazi, he didn't understand. So when he returned to Elisha, Elisha said, is this the time to receive gifts? That is, the time is not right. What am I saying? A man stepping into such places will put up his hand and say, God, even gifts I don't want. He moves in. You know, when you start like that in the kingdom of God, that is when God will remove the controller general of customs for your sake. Not when you have eaten with the people of the east. The man is persecuting you and you are rebuking him and he refuses to be rebuked. You cast out the demon, only seven of them return after. And you are wondering why. Read your scriptures well. All those men who did great things in the Old Testament for God, they didn't know about the devil. No, really. Remember we're talking about unholy preoccupation. Anytime a man is persecuted at work, he said it's the devil. God said it is the influence from the east. You are partaking of it. You are not working in the kingdom. That's why you can't stay over or stay reigning over all. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the reason I went out and defended Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was that before they stepped into Babylon. They said, here, we will not partake of any rubbish going on here. That is, they walk in the kingdom all the time. So even while they were sleeping, God was defending them. I hope you are following the principle I'm talking about here. Hey, come on. Well, look, anytime you want to enter into Babylon, it's a principle. That is the way you will be lifted up when you get there. Someone was telling me this morning that he went somewhere, common entrance. They were doing common entrance. And even teachers were joining to help. For your information, when he said common entrance, I thought he said jump. Then he said common. I said, oh, that is the one that takes you from primary school into secondary school. He said, somewhere in MNA here. And they were cheating. The teachers were teaching the children what to write. I said, this is how to walk in the kingdom. Anybody going into this setting will say, whatever happens, I will not engage in cheating in any form. And let me tell you the truth. There's a responsibility for believers. If you walk in the kingdom, to start praying, thy kingdom come. That is, you know, get what I'm saying? If you are in a place and everybody is cheating and you are not cheating, then every morning you say, God, let thy kingdom come. What it means is that let soon the manifestation appear of judgment, that you will exalt those who walk according to your principles and punish those who walk against it. God said, anybody walking against his word, he's ganging up against him. You know, I read it today. I was reading the story at Kadesh Barnea. When these 12 spies arrived, you know, God said that they have all ganged up against me. Do you know that statement frightened me? It's Numbers chapter 14. God said, you see, all of these people that ganged up against me, none of them will see this land. None of them. When anyone is stepping into Babylon, the principle that will put him over in life.